I wonder if you have ever gotten bad advice before. I see some people have. I remember once we were at the airport in Johannesburg on our way to or from Lesotho when we were visiting and serving over there, and not knowing exactly where everything is. I mean, here, at least in the United States, you could just walk up to somebody and ask directions, and hopefully, they'll give you good advice. What we found out quickly, though, there is that the person we asked information about, how do we find this place that we're looking for, did not have our best interests in mind. So we figured this guy knows. He seems to be, he's a local here. I mean, that's the people you go to, right? If you're looking for someplace, you go to the locals and you find those things out. So it seemed as if he should know. But he led us through this maze of different places and hallways and finally led us out to this place where buses would pick you up. We weren't looking for one of those buses. We were looking for something else. When we got there, we knew right away, this is not the right place. And there, they also want you to be grateful for their work, too. And so they would stand there waiting for their tip for the help that they've given. Now, I'm glad to help somebody out that gave me good advice, but I was not where I needed to be. And so we decided to take matters into our own hands, and we said, well, we're just going to go back to the information center, which was right where we were to begin with, and go back over there and find out where we needed to be. And so this man followed us the entire way back, talking to us all the way. When we got to the information table, he said, yes, here it is. He was not leading us, by the way. We knew where we were going. Here it is, he said. You know what he did? It's like, sorry, buddy. Led me astray once. You don't get a tip for just following me through the airport. Those kind of things happen all the time. People ask for directions, right? Have you ever, Nathan, given somebody in directions? Hopefully always right. As far as I know, yeah. I've thought about that too at times when people give directions, if they really know. And then there are times when I've given people directions and they leave and it's like, what's that? Oh, I think I was thinking of something else and I wasn't sure if I gave them directions to the right place or not. But we're listening to different people's voices. I'm realizing too, as I'm up here, I don't have my notes. They should be in my office on my desk someplace, but it would be folded up. So give it a whirl. If not, I'll be excused here in a moment. But that's the case when we're looking for direction. Who gives it, and how clear they are is important. If they're giving you good directions, that's a good thing. But we've found before where we wanted to go and the instructions that we were given to get there were not correct. So it does make a difference in who we're listening to in those times. Listening to the right voice makes a difference. And if that's true, in navigating an airport or getting, if you're along the side of the road and you flag somebody down and you say, hey, I'm looking for Cal's house. Can you tell me where Cal's house is? And they say, yeah, just keep going north. Yeah, wrong directions already, right? If it's important to know that you're getting good directions in this world from just day-to-day travels, how much more important isn't it to get good instructions for the journey through life itself? Someone had a post on Facebook that said it was just a picture of a bench. If you could sit on this bench for 1 hour with someone and talk to them, who would it be? And there were all kinds of different answers. And of course, every good churchgoer would say, who? Jesus, right. There were lots of different answers, and there are lots of different people that we would like to talk to again and hear from again, for sure. But there are so many questions, I'm sure, that you and I have that an hour would not even scratch the surface of what we would like to ask Jesus and hear from him. When we come to our text that we're getting to today, Jesus has been in this place of dialogue already with the Jewish people and with the leaders, the religious leaders of his day. We left off last time when we were talking about Jesus identifying himself. He would repeatedly say, I am, and of course the Jews would understand the significance of that in different ways, especially when he says just that phrase, before Abraham was, I am. At that point, they wanted to kill him because they knew what he was saying. They heard him, and they clearly understood what he was trying to say to them. And so they tried to kill him. And they've been in a dialogue, a conversation, a back and forth ever since, I guess if you want to put it this way, ever since last week when he said, I am the light of the world. He continued to talk to them. And when we get to our consideration for this morning, it's kind of like we just walked up to somebody. Yeah, have you ever done that here in a little group or whatever? You want to go talk to somebody and you just kind of walk up and they're already in the middle of conversation and you just kind of work your way in. That's kind of what's happening here as we pick up where we're at. I'm going to be reading from John 10, the first 10 verses there. If you have your Bible or on your phone, you can pull that up. I'm reading from the English Standard Version again this morning. And Jesus says, truly, truly. So in this version, it's meant to give the weight of what he's about to say. Truly, truly is an important phrase for them to hear, for us to hear as well. This has particular weight. Not that any of Jesus' sayings or words or conversations don't, but he's making a particular point that he wants to make sure that they hear. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech, what Jesus is trying to say to them, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, he wants their attention once again. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that's where we're going to stop our reading so we can meditate on that for a while this morning. So we're caught in the middle of this conversation when Jesus said to them last time, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." They said, "Well, that's what you say. That's your testimony, but how do we know that what you're saying is true? Why should we listen to you? Because you're just speaking on your own." And so the rest of chapter 8 in the book of John here would be this long dialogue back and forth between them about whether or not he's trustworthy to listen to. He would keep saying in different ways, "I told you, I said to you, you're not listening. If you really were who you say you are, you would be listening to me." And they're at this long dialogue, and then there's an interlude there where he talks about a blind man. He brought sight to the blind man so he could see. It's what Jesus is trying to do with the Jewish people and the leaders there in his constant dialogue with them. "I want you to see what I'm saying or hear what I'm saying. I need you to understand what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to show you." And they just don't seem to get it. Even when he says clearly who he is, they don't believe it, because at that point they wanted to kill him. That should have been the thing that they've been waiting for so long in this coming Messiah. But when he said that's who he is, in so many words, they didn't believe him. They still were not listening to him. So if you are, as the people in Jesus' day were looking for someone to follow, they had the system of rabbi and teacher, the teacher and the students, where you would look for somebody that you could listen to and follow. A lot of people were following Jesus. A lot of people were following Jesus, listening to what he had to say. Those that were beginning to understand his message, he would say, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you keep listening to what I have to say, if you hear my words, they will be life for you. The truth is going to set you free from the things that you have been misunderstanding about." As Jesus is talking here, it's interesting. When Jesus is talking about being the door, some of what he emphasizes is what he says. And Jesus is in the middle of mixing metaphors and everything. First he says the door is there and it's only open to those who are meant to go in. Back in the day there, they would have sheep pens and maybe a large one with smaller ones inside that. And there would be people that would watch over the sheep overnight while the shepherds would take their rest. So they would go into this particular sheepfold where it was guarded by a door there, and only when this door is open and the shepherd comes would the sheep be drawn out. And so if there was somebody that wasn't a shepherd, certainly the gatekeeper wasn't going to open to that person. So if somebody else wanted to get in, they would have to get in some other way. When you do that, there's a different motive there. The shepherd is there to make sure that the sheep are taken care of and protected. The people that sneak in another way, and that's what they have to do, they have to sneak in. Those people are not allowed to enter through the door. And then Jesus would say later on, making sure that they understood who goes in and out, he said, to mix it up a little bit more, he says, "And I am the door." With that, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they listen to me. I know them by name, I call them out by name, and they follow me because they know my voice." And a lot of what he's saying here, ever since he said, "I'm the light of the world," this long discussion that leads us to where we are now, he's talking about people listening to him. Some have been. To the ones that did listen to him, He said, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Even that was a bit of a challenge for them to understand, because it brought in the question of whether they're free or not. But Jesus has something that, in the midst of him talking about being the door and talking about the gate of the sheep, he wants to know, wants his people to know, that you would listen to the one who goes in through that door and leads the sheep out. You need to listen to him. Jesus would say that a true follower, as it's said back in chapter 8 again, at verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who did decide to believe me, if you abide in my word, if you keep listening to what I have to say, you are truly my disciples. He would also say at different times in the different gospel accounts, make sure that no one leads you astray. Because there are going to be other people that are going to come and they're going to speak to you, and you need to make sure that you're listening to the shepherd, to the one who has the right to the sheep. Don't listen to other people. Their motives are like the one at the airport. The only interest they have for you is their own. They want something from you. They don't care where you end up. They're only there to lead you astray, and to benefit from that themselves, or to make sure that you don't prosper at all. Don't be led astray. Jesus would say in Luke 8, when he's talking about the people that listen, my mother and my brothers, he's talking about his true family, his true spiritual family. My mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Did you notice when we were reading in this, he said at verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What was the call of every disciple when Jesus began to call them to himself? What did he say? Follow me, right? That is what you need to hear as a disciple of Christ. If you are going to be one of his, you need to follow him. You need to listen to what he says and be following. And he says, beware, though, of those that sneak in. Matthew talks about it too, Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets, false teachers, people that are there under a false pretense, who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look just like you do, but they have their own intentions at heart. They are inwardly ravenous wolves. They want to devour you, and they do that by leading you and I astray. The wrong voice can lead you to a place that you won't come back from. Jesus is painting a picture here of how much he cares for the sheep, and how much he knows the sheep, and the purpose he has for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I lead them out. I bring them in and out of this place of a safety and pasture, of purpose and significance. I wonder, when you consider all of these things, Jesus being not only the one who wants to lead you, but he is the only door by which you should enter. If you remember, if you look at the front of your bulletin there, there were three doors. Now, one is notably different. Mindy, what's the different one? One of these things is not like the other, right? The yellow one. Yeah, there's one. That one stands out. So if you were asked to pick a door, what door might you pick? The yellow one, yes, right. There's something different about that door. The other ones, and they're the picture that this came from, there were several doors to choose from, but only the yellow one was there. There is something significant about that. All the others are similar, and none of them will lead you to the right place. If you remember the old TV show, Let's Make a Deal, right? I was trying to remember. I forgot to look this up. Who was the game show host of that? Monty Python? Monty Hall. Oh, see, I was thinking Monty Python. I thought, boy, what an appropriate name for a guy that wants you to go through the wrong door. He sounds like a snake. So my mistake on that one. But in that there was given the people an opportunity to choose something different, wondering if they had made the best choice already. That's the same way that the enemy works with us too. Jesus comes and he speaks life to us. He opens the door for us, and it's the door to life everlasting, the absolute best life. Don't buy what the world is saying, that you can live your best life now. That's just a crock. It's not true. The best life is one that is connected to this one, but leads you into eternal life that has been planned from all eternity by God. The enemy wants you to choose something else. I think he's been doing that all along. Even in the garden, the enemy said, well, I understand you've heard from somebody else. Let me speak to you now. I have a different way for you. I have another choice for you. And this one is a good choice. You can almost hear. It should have been Monty Python, right? It was Monty. It should have been Monty Python, because it smacks of this idea that someone is trying to lead you astray. And that's what the enemy is trying to do. The thief, it says here, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's behind door number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the other doors. Door number 1 was the good one all along, where God says, I have created you for eternity with me, and I will provide everything you need for that. I will shelter you. I will protect you. And in doing that, I have set the limits for what you should not be a part of. And he set this limit, even in the garden. And Moses, Adam and Eve heard the word of God. They heard him. They even repeated back to the serpent what had been said. But then they fell for the lie, and they chose a different way. God has been speaking to his people throughout history. And he wanted to make sure that his people understand what's being said. So he had it written down. I'm so grateful that we have access, as much as we want, to the truth of what God has said. Because if you and I had to just figure it out or choose from the best voices out there, you know what? We wouldn't choose the right one. Our hearts are desperately wicked, inclined towards evil from birth. It's the truth of what God says in his word. But he also provides the way of truth back to himself. And Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the one who's going to lead you correctly, and you need to listen to my voice. Jesus, in contrast to what those that sneak in do, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it somewhat in this world. No, he said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. What he has in store for us is far more than we even think about or can even imagine. Isaiah talked about listening to the words of the Savior here. Isaiah 55, incline your ear to me and come to me. Hear, it says, hear that your soul may live. But hearing isn't enough. The devil heard the words. He repeated back to Adam and Eve. He repeated to Jesus when he was tempting him the very words of God. He knows the word of God. He has heard them. And so do all those that don't follow. They have, or at least some of them, they have heard the words of God. But hearing isn't enough, right? If you are the child at home and your parents say to you, clean your room. Now, if at the end of the day you go back and you say, did you get your room clean? Oh, yes, I heard you. No, did you get your room clean? I heard what you said, Mom. You told me to clean my room. Thank you. Hearing isn't enough. Jesus had words for people that only listened. Luke 6, at verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you claim this intimate relationship with me and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like, Jesus said. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against it, and that house could not shake it because it was well built. They heard what Jesus had to say, and they put it to practice, responded to it, and carried it out. Jesus says, I'm the door of the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. That's the way that you know you're walking in wisdom, is if you hear the voice of the shepherd as he opens the door to you. Hearing it can be greatly encouraging, but it won't take you anywhere when the door's open if you don't go anywhere. You are meant to follow. You and I are meant to follow Jesus Christ when he opens up the door to us, to go in and to go out under his care. I wonder where you're hearing Jesus speak to you. Where is Jesus speaking to you? What is he saying? If you could, let's go back to that park bench illustration again. If you could sit for 1 hour, just 1 hour, with anybody in the universe, who would it be? Jesus. What is he saying to you? Are we wanting to sit with Jesus and talk to him the whole time? Or would you sit there for an hour just listening? And then as you listen to what he's saying, what would you do with that? Would you just go home and say, wow, what a wonderful talk I heard today? And then nothing becomes of it. Jesus would have just spoken life to you and I in that hour. But just to say, yeah, I heard what he said. He said, go out and, yeah, did you do that? Well, I heard him say that. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What is he saying? Maybe some of you, if you think about that right now, what Jesus is saying to you seems rather clear. There's been maybe this clear understanding of what he's asking of you, what he's calling you to, what he wants you to do, the way he wants you to live. Maybe there's something about your life. Maybe he's calling you into action in some place. Maybe he's calling you to a place of repentance. Maybe he wants to use you as a person of reconciliation. Maybe he's calling you to forgiveness or to receive forgiveness. Some of that means that you would understand that Jesus is still speaking to you. That's the way I understand scriptures, that not only does he want to save me, but he is also my Lord, and he directs me. And so he gave us all kinds of things. He allowed for four different people to write down the account of his life and how he lived it out the way you and I are supposed to. He is the true representation of mankind now, the way we can live in his name. And so we listen to him as he speaks through the Gospels. And then he had people that came after him and began to write down other things where they listened to the voice of God and they put it into action. I believe the Word of God is there so that we can hear what it's saying at different times in our life. You know, Karen and I went to Lesotho for 2 years as missionaries. And we heard the voice of God clearly in that, didn't we? Could you look that up for me? Doesn't say it in there, does it? Well, it does. Go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And some of these things just became clear to us that what he had said to people in the past is what he's saying to us now. He is speaking to you. He is. He's not a God who's silent. He's not one that just invited you into a relationship for later on in life. He's inviting you into kingdom work now. It's what we give testimony to in our teachings here. The catechism says, because of my eternal hope that I have in him, I will willingly, from now on, live for him. There is a change in our lives that happens as we hear the Word of God. If you don't hear his voice, I want you to pray this week. Pray with an open Bible. As you're reading your Bible, pray about it. What are you saying to me, God? What did I just read in your eternal word that you are saying to me? Keep track of that this week. In your daily devotions, whether you're reading through the scripture and the plan that we have, or you're doing your daily devotions in another way, he's saying something to you. The words of God are being proclaimed. When we read this morning from John 10, 1 through 10, God was speaking to us. This is the clearest way he speaks, but he has a purpose for you individually in your life. That's harder to hear because it isn't written down someplace, but sometimes it's just so absolutely clear that you wonder how anybody else could miss it. That's how it was when we went to Africa. If we would have not gone, we would have been disobedient. Because he absolutely said to us, "You're going there, and I'm going to show you that I'm bringing you there, and all the things that I'm going to do to get you there will be evidence of the fact that I called you there." The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. That means he knows you. He may be saying, "Karen, Mary, Dale, Les, Mark, Mark." He knows you by name, and he's calling you to follow him. So be attentive to the voice of God this week. Reflect a little longer on what you read, on what you hear in a different place. There have been people that have made wonderful, beautiful music. I don't know how many times I've heard the voice of God speak to me in a song that clarified what he was saying someplace else as well. You may be in a conversation with somebody and they share a scripture verse with you about something that's going on in your life and you think, "You know, that's the same verse I heard this morning. You know, that gets my attention every time." When the Word of God speaks in one place and then it reiterates it in another. It's kind of like the truly, truly. You listening? Truly, truly. And he repeats it again. That's kind of the way it is with Jesus. There are lots of voices speaking in this world. Brothers and sisters, you are listening to those voices. I guarantee you are listening to the voices of the world. They're on your television. They're in your newspaper. They're in every area of life. You are listening to them. The enemy wants to flood you with information. But there's only one voice that leads you to life. It's the voice of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Father, we want to give ourselves to you today as your servants, as your disciples, as those that follow you, the ones that submit our lives to the leading of the shepherd whose plan and purpose for us is to lead us into green pastures, into eternal life, into fruitful labor here. Your word says we would be proved to be the disciples of Jesus when we bear much fruit. Father, help us to be listening to your voice, the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Spirit ringing within ours, so that we may understand what you're saying to us, so that we don't miss any opportunities. Because Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Father, forgive us for the times where we have either heard your voice and didn't clean our room, or for those times where we just kind of stopped listening. But Father, for those times when your word continues to ring in our ears, may your Spirit continue to shape us and prod us and move us towards what we are called to do, the people we are meant to be, the servants we are called as in your kingdom. So let us hear your voice day by day. May we listen carefully. Follow what the Master says, where the Master goes. Do what he would have us do so that we may be found faithful in your eyes. It is our prayer before you this morning, and all God's people said, Amen.